You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Today, I have my special guest and my son, my tax exemption, Matt Moreno from Go Easy Cats. Welcome to the show, Matt Moreno.
Thanks for having me back, Steve.
Yes.
Always happy to be here.
Hoping you're going to get me a good Christmas present. That's why I have you back.
Yeah, working on it.
Extra large. I like red. If you don't take the hint. So what's going on in your world? We just came off seeing each other on Saturday night, deep into the night, where we found out that Kevin Sumlin was going to be the coach. Not a shock in the response that we got that he's going to be the coach, but I am kind of weird. They could have easily said enough. Yes?
Yeah, but I think it's not so much. I think everyone thinks about one part of it is firing the coach and getting rid of, you know, the coach, but then you also have the other part where you have to find someone to replace him. And from the sounds of it, there wasn't a great pool out there of candidates to replace him. And it's not a very attractive job right now. And
when would it be? If it's not now, when?
Definitely not right now. But yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things where, you know, you just have to, you move forward and you try and build it up around Kevin Sumlin. And we always knew the money was going to be a big part of everything that went into this. And I think it was interesting to see Dave Hickey come out right after Kevin Sumlin finished up, said, hey, he's going to be our coach. And then, you know, a couple days later, they get a commitment. He understands. They all know the game. They understand the game. They all know that mattered for recruiting. If he was going to be your guy, you had to make that known.
Yeah.
And they did. And, you know, now they can move forward with it and figure out what they're going to do with the rest of the staff.
A recruit that is a 3-star?
Yeah.
Okay. It's called Tuesday at Arizona, isn't it?
Yeah. No, but I think it's important for the optics in terms of he was one of their top targets. He was one of the two guys that Kevin Sumlin took a helicopter to go see playing Phoenix.
That's getting old, too. That's getting old.
Yeah. And, you know, so I think it's good for the optics in terms of getting someone on board when you don't have a defensive line coach, you don't have a defensive coordinator. He's one of your top targets. He could have gone other places. He picked Arizona over.
What are his choices?
Nebraska.
Really?
Yeah. Nebraska, Boston College, Boise State, Utah. Yeah, so those are some of the schools that he picked.
Why would he come here?
Close to home.
Chance to play?
Yeah, and I really do think that as much as fans don't want to give him credit right now and they're kind of peeved at him, Kevin Sumlin had a lot to do with this. I mean, this was very much a Kevin Sumlin type of recruit. I mean, he was someone that Kevin Sumlin, you know, dealt with a lot and really got involved with his recruitment. His dad was on the staff at Boston College. His brother's playing at Boston College. And so they kind of understood the game, and I think that played into it. I think that was part of it. That was, you know, that made an impact on him, knowing that he understands the game and knows the coaching staff side of it. And so I think it was a chance to stay close to home and give him an opportunity to play for a coach that he liked.
Well, there's one coming in, and there's a couple already leaving. I guess they got the second guy to say that he wants to leave, right?
Yeah, not a surprise. Neither one of them are star players.
Are they 3-stars?
In terms of the guys transferring?
Yes.
Yeah.
So they're the same as the guy coming in?
Yeah.
It's a wash.
Yeah.
It's a wash. This program is a wash.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, Arizona, and you know this job business better than me because you're that guy in recruiting. It's a 3-star place. It's a 3-star place. You might get a 4-star. You may rarely get a 5-star. You could get a 5-star, one or two at the most.
That's a once in a decade
correct
deal.
They haven't had one in when?
I mean, Jalen Tabor was one who committed and then he didn't end up making it here.
Right. How did he turn out?
I think he had a chance at the NFL. He played, I think. But
it's been that long?
Yeah.
Because I remember doing a story.
Yeah.
He went to Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he fizzled out in the NFL, but
okay.
Quickly.
But he was good. But he was good enough to go. Okay, so that's one. And then 4-stars? How many?
I'd have to double check. But, I mean, there have been a handful.
A handful? That's in a season or in a matter of years?
Lately, it's been years.
I mean, typically,
what you would want from Arizona is 3 or 4, and you'll be okay.
That ain't happening.
No.
So Arizona, historically, is a 2-star, 3-star school.
Right.
Do you think that's ever going to change?
It's difficult. No, it's difficult. I mean, I don't, probably not. I mean, I don't think there would be a lot of change.
One of these days when you get married, you're going to bring home bread. They're going to tell you bring home bread. You guess what? You're going to get bring home bread, and you're going to be doing it consistently and consistently. And guess what's going to be expected of you? You'll bring home bread, and it's going to be the same bread. That's what Arizona is. It's the same bread, same people, same players, same three stars, two stars, and they'll have to get a coach that coaches them up. No disrespect.
That's the key.
No disrespect, but that's what it is. It's not basketball where you can get five stars because it has that reputation.
Well, and that's what I found interesting when you looked at some of the tweets from all of us who kind of tweeted out what Dave Hickey had said. I just kind of looked through some of the comments and some of the responses to whoever it was, some of the other reporters here in Tucson, and there were people who were saying, well, it's all about recruiting, and they have to get four stars and five star guys. I'm like, when have they ever gotten a five star guy?
Because you're talking about a fan base that doesn't have a clue to who they are. You know, I like to think I'm Brad Pitt. Guess what? I'm not Brad Pitt. You understand what I use those analogies with you all the time, but it's true. I mean, it's all about the recruiting. Yeah, but you have to know who you are. They're not that school.
No.
They're not going to be that school. I don't care who you think you are. I could be wrong. Tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're correct. It's about finding the right three stars.
Finding the right to coaching them up, the Scoobies of the world, the Teddy Ruskies of the world, and I'm bringing up those guys because obviously they were that guy. And how many times has that guy shown up? Not very often.
Not often. And not I think often. The hope, if you're Arizona, is that you build it up enough so when you do get a guy like Khalil Tate, maybe a bad example right now just because he didn't pan out the way everyone thought he would be, but when you do get a talent like that that is different, that's different than the norm, I think your hope is that you have enough talent around him that he's the difference between being good and being very, very good.
Totally. So on the roster now, no five stars.
No.
No four stars. Maybe one.
Nathan Tilford.
Okay. And how's that going?
Yeah.
Okay, so a bunch of three stars, and you want to win the Pac-12 South?
Yeah.
What kind of luck do you need?
Need a lot of luck.
Magic dust in the pocket?
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm not trying to be... It is what it is. I mean, you have to identify who you are, and that's who they are. Now they have to get coached up, and things cannot go bad.
Well, and that was kind of Kevin Sumlin's message to his players throughout the season. If you remember, when things started to kind of go south and started to go bad, he said they have to look. We have to look at ourselves. They have to look at themselves and be honest with themselves about who they are and what types of players they are and how they can get better. And that goes for him as well. I mean, he has to look at himself and say, "This is the type of program I have right now.
Mm-hmm.
These are the ways I need to go about making it better. And I can't. Whatever I thought was going to be the process the first couple of years has to be different because so far it hasn't worked.
Do you think that he misread this school?
Yes.
Thinking.
Again, I think it was similar to Rich Rodriguez in that they both, I think, felt coming in, I'm Kevin Sumlin, I'm Rich Rodriguez, I'm going to get the players.
Right.
It's a completely different situation. That's why whoever the defensive coordinator is, whoever the rest of the staff is going to be filled out with, they have to understand that it is a unique place to recruit to and it's a unique place to coach at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not New Mexico. It's not Colorado State. It's not Vegas in a good way. It's Arizona because it's in the Pac-12, but... It's similar to those programs because it's tough to recruit to. I may be talking through my butt, but it's not USC, it's not UCLA, it's not Washington, it's not Oregon, it's not any of these schools. Let's not fool ourselves. You know, I talked to you Saturday night. We were at ASU in this city that I really think highly of, off Temple. There's a lot to do. A lot to do. You knew there was a game, right?
Yeah, well, and that's what I told you.
A lot of excitement, bright lights, and you're thinking, of course I want to come here. And I love Tucson. I love Tucson. That's why I live here. But do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a great, it's a very good place to go and play football.
Yeah.
It's like a sleeping giant to me. It's always been.
And they haven't done as well as they could have.
No, exactly. Exactly.
I don't even know if they understand what they have.
Hey, let's take a quick break here on 10:30 The Voice. Come back and talk a lot about the football program and some about the basketball program. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and with me is Matt Moreno of Go AZ Cats. Tom, how are you? Good. I don't want to forget about you.
I'm just hanging back and listening to you guys wax poetics.
Wax poetic and be like grumpy old men. I'm kind of, Matt's known me for about 8-9 years. We're kind of colleagues in a couple of other things. He knows me to be this grumpy old dude, kind of.
I think some of it is a facade.
Yes, you're correct. Don't tell anybody. Nobody's listening, so...
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn, even though it's gravel.
You know, that's right.
Can't afford water.
Get off my turf.
Yes, yes. But, you know, Arizona's a... We talk about this all the time, on and off air or whatever. It's a strange beast. I don't feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for them, but when you're getting paid $3 million, I don't feel sorry for them. And you say it's a tough job right now. You're getting paid $3 million.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to feel bad for anybody who's making that much money.
Yeah, yes, and not doing so well. He's won 9 games. How many games has he won?
The other thing is the alternative is that...
You don't have a job?
Well, no. You get paid for being bad at your job.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I said that, I think Monday, I said, what's the worst thing that happened? He gets paid $10 million to go away again.
Yeah. It's a great gig.
It's the, and I like this guy that I'm talking about. It's the Kevin O'Neill approach to jobs. You know, go get a job, get paid, screw up, bye. Here's your check.
And the way college football works, you look at the list of candidates for jobs that are open right now, it's all guys that have
done the same thing.
Yeah, they've been bad at their last job.
Right, right. Well, kind of the NFL, too. The coaches in the NFL, it's just a recycled group of people.
Yeah.
And what's your resume look like? Okay, good. Just because you've played or coached here and coached there doesn't mean you're going to coach well here or mm-hmm. wherever.
Well, and if you look at Arizona's last two coaches,
mm-hmm. two.
Same path.
Three or four.
Yeah.
3 or 4, Makovic.
Yeah.
So yeah, Stoops had his chance. And he was doing okay. I mean, in the grand scheme, he recruited well. He just wasn't a head coach. He's just not a head coach. Rich Rod was a head coach, but he was Clint Eastwood to me. I mean, his favorite guy. He was just kind of like a guy, High Plains drifter, came in and was ready to leave once he did really well, because he was going to go to South Carolina.
I think if you look back, I think that's where he lost a lot of the
South Carolina,
was that whole situation.
Yeah. Because you don't know one who was telling the truth.
Yeah.
But you know he wanted to get the heck out of here. He wanted to parlay.
I think we all sense that.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Being around him.
Well, sure. And he would deny it, but that's what it was. I did my job here, got it here. I became successful. Get me the heck out of here. And then it didn't happen.
Yeah.
So now he knew he was stuck. And then it went downhill from there.
Yeah.
And then now we have a guy who kind of similar. He had a one or two good years, and all of a sudden he's here doing the same thing.
Yeah, the interesting thing is going to be, I mean, how they make some of these staff changes. Because if they don't make major changes, and something that they did on the baseball side with Jay Johnson is they went out and paid the money to get the best available pitching coach.
Mm-hmm.
They saw an issue with their pitching. They went out and spent the money to get the best available pitching coach. Right now, you need to go spend whatever you can spend to get whatever is within reason.
Right.
I think Arizona fans have some expectations of that they're going to get guys that they're just not going to be able to get. But if you can keep it within reason and spend, you know, I think that's where the money needs to go. Is if you were planning to come up with a buyout for Kevin Sumlin, you have some money somewhere that should be put into the program, because right now, you're saying he's your coach. You need to build it up around him and make sure that you have the right pieces to have some kind of success.
Yes, I had Michael Lev on here Monday, and we talked, and I threw this question. I think I'm going to get it accurate. So the reason why they kept Sumlin, I'll give you a list. Money, just the right guy still. Circumstances, I can't remember. Those four things I said. Money, you don't want to deal with it. He's the right guy, you still believe. Circumstances of the whole thing, can they afford to do it? There's four of them. What do you think the top three or four reasons were why they kept him?
Money. Maybe money again. No, I think also, like I said, I think you have to have someone else who's going to replace him, and the pool is not
and
that
they didn't
great.
Have, yeah, yeah.
The
but everyone's getting
great.
Fired right now.
Right. The pool is not great. I don't think like we mentioned, it's not an attractive job. You're going to have to come in and clean up several years of
right.
kind of poor play.
It's going to be like this for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And that's sorry to say, but it's true.
Yeah, that's the other thing that I think is difficult, and why I've seen a lot on our message boards and on Twitter and things like that, people saying, I just don't think I'm going to renew my tickets next year because
right.
what is the point? And I think that's fair. I mean, I think that's fair because when you look at next year, it's not going to turn around in a year.
How do you sell? And I've said this question to a couple people already in the last 3 days. How do you sell this program?
I don't know.
This year is back the A. Now what? Do it again, please.
Back the A again. I don't know. I mean, it's a difficult situation because there's not a lot to build on right now. You don't have that. a couple years ago, you could say, well, at least they have Khalil Tate. Mm-hmm. You could sell that. You could say, hey, at least we might not have a great defense.
Right, right.
We don't have a lot of great receivers. Maybe different spots are not great, but we still have Khalil Tate. They just don't have that type of person right now, and that's...
Well, they do in their Gunnell. Kind of, not like that type of person, but they have somebody. But that's all they have. And it's funny, I wanted to put this in my story from Saturday night after doing my stories, that the one good thing, at least we'll be able to talk to Greg Gunnell next year.
I like talking to him. I've talked to him before when he was, you know, a recruit. He's your typical quarterback. He kind of sticks to what he knows. It's not going to be very entertaining, I think, for a lot of people. But
yeah, well, that's fine. Khalil wasn't. But you know what? And I said this to Michael Lev too. The one thing about Khalil, he grew up a lot in the last year and a half.
That press conference on Saturday night was impressive.
It was very good.
Yeah. It was everything that I think everyone wanted to hear for the last 2 years.
Right.
In a press conference. He had that one moment where he kind of smirked and when asked, well, you know, does this one hurt or something? It was some kind of question about just how much did he want to win this game, I think it was. And
the questions aren't great, but you got it. Yeah.
But he kind of smirked. But outside of that, I mean, he took blame for the offense not doing its part to help the defense. He credited his teammates. He gave a lot of credit to someone like Jamari Joyner for putting in the work and
talked about his career.
Yeah.
Very honestly, how it was up and down and a learning experience.
Yeah, and I think that's the unfortunate part. I think you go back to what frustrated fans about him is kind of this, it's similar sense, but on the field. For us, we kind of look at that last press conference and go, he could have done that the entire time.
Oh, sure, of course.
And I think for fans, they see him break out runs on certain plays or have one of those big runs like he had earlier in the year when it's just flashes. He has a big 75-yard run. You go, he can still do it. It's not that he can't do it. I think that was the frustrating point.
He just doesn't want to.
Yeah, I think that was a frustrating point for fans. He still possesses the talent to do that.
Right.
He's just not willing to do it.
One of these days when you have kids and you have a teenager, Matt, guess what? You go through exactly what you just saw. Because, you know, when you were 18, 19, you're a pretty smart guy. Yeah. You had all the answers.
I was...
I know I did.
Yeah, I was the ultimate underachiever, I think. He's so smart, but, you know, if he's tried a little bit harder.
Right, me, I knew everything. I was a perfect radio guy. I could solve everybody else's problems but my own. And now I'm saying, what the hell? How stupid was I as a kid thinking I knew everything? I had no idea. Had all the answers, but didn't even know the questions. Tom, you part of this mix?
Well, of course. I mean, that's what growing up and aging is all about. You wake up one day and you go, man, I've been full of it for a long time.
Yeah. Guess what? The mortgage is due. How am I going to pay it?
Yeah. But then you think you know the answers now. And then, you know, 10 years from now, you're going to look back and go, man, I didn't know what I was talking about then either.
Yeah. No. You never know. You never learn and whatever. But especially when you're 19. And bless him. You know, he was very good that night in terms of the media. And I thought the same thing when he said it. He was like, God, that's pretty good. He had all the right answers. I wasn't snarky. But I saw the look that he gave at the beginning. But he was good. He was fine. Sumlin was okay, too.
Yeah.
But he had no choice.
No. But I always appreciate from him, because I don't think we necessarily really ever got this from Rich Rodriguez, is when someone does kind of criticize one of his calls or even just ask about a particular decision, he goes into his thought process in doing so, and he doesn't...
Who, Sumlin?
Sumlin.
Yeah.
And he doesn't kind of snip back at you. He gives you an answer, and I've always appreciated that about him.
No, Richard Rod and I had gotten into it maybe a time or two. I always criticized because he was a poor sport, one of the worst losers I've ever met. And he knew that I said that. I've written it a couple times. Now though, that he's gone, it's easy to say this because I'm, you know, he's not around. I can't believe I just didn't challenge him enough because he was that guy. He was bite back at you, and by that time, I didn't care. Was the point?
Yeah, and I mean, it doesn't help the coach any. Maybe it makes him feel better, but it doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help the situation. He's still not giving the answers, and it looks bad.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. It's interesting to see how that approach is, but I felt like Kevin Sumlin, every time you kind of have a situation like that where he is questioned about something, he comes back with.
Yeah, I think it depends on who asked the question, because he has this couple of guys that he's kind of snarky with. True?
Yeah.
You know, so. And Lev was the guy that handled this team. Is Michael Lebs was his team, and everybody else was kind of like backseat because he was there day to day, travel with the team, as it should be.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's how it should be.
It's how it should be. You know, I wouldn't want to take his lineman. It's his team. When I covered the team on a day to day basketball, I didn't want anybody taking my stuff.
Yeah.
You know, It is what it is. What else? This team doesn't have a whole lot of talent. We're going to talk about basketball on the other side, but put this baby to bed. It's going to be a while before they find people.
Yeah. It's very much a rebuild process. It is almost like they're getting a new coach. The only benefit is that they don't have to get a new coach
right.
at this point.
You think there'll be other changes?
Yeah.
Other changes to the staff?
Yeah, I do.
In addition to the three additions?
Yeah, I do.
I think that would be the wise move.
Yeah, and I think, and I know there's been some questions about it, it's going to be after the signing period.
Yeah.
Because as much as it's right or wrong, if you believe it's right or wrong, they're going to want to sign recruits first and then make
sure
whatever changes they're going to make.
Sure, no question. But there needs to be.
Yeah.
There needs to be a whole new culture change.
It honestly feels like you could make a case for everybody being gone.
Yes.
If you're going to keep Kevin Sullivan, that everybody needs to go and...
Mm-hmm. That'd be a tough transition, but what's the worst going to happen?
Yeah.
We'll see. We ready to go? We're ready to go, Tom. Thank you for that music, that Seals and Crofts. What is it? Summer Breeze?
Summer Breeze.
It's like 71 degrees today.
Makes me feel fine.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to Pittsburgh in a couple of days. It's going to be freezing.
Good luck.
Yeah. Let's take a break here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. And with me tonight is Matt Moreno of Go Easy Cats, talking U of A sports. If you'd like to call in, please do. I would appreciate your call, in fact. 790-2040, please do. Talk about UA hoops or UA football, such that it is. Let's talk basketball now. You depressed enough through football?
We'll bring them back. We'll bring everybody back.
Yeah, come back full circle. The basketball team doing okay, obviously, doing well. What, 8-0?
Yeah.
9-0. Going to Baylor this weekend should be the first real good test. We'll see what happens. A loss, what does it mean? Not a darn thing here in December, but at least you get to see who you really are.
Yeah.
You know? And even then, what does it matter in December? Not a darn thing. Let me ask you a question. I know you're not a KG veteran, but you're a veteran of this. And Tom, if you could fill in your thoughts with this. When teams go out and play, and veteran teams, young teams, or whatever, just teams, and you get beat, or you win, do you learn from those things? Everyone uses, they'll learn from this. Is that just trite, or is that just a bunch of BS?
All right. I think for the most part, it's a bunch of BS. The teachable moments occur if you face something you haven't faced before, and you can then break it down X's and O's, or there's something to be said for if a kid's never been on a big stage, being on a big stage, that's
that
a learning moment, a pressure moment they haven't faced before, yes. But a loss to another team, unless they're running some wild, newfangled offense that no one's ever seen before, I don't know that you learn a whole heck of a lot from it, except, you know, maybe your game plan wasn't the right game plan, but that's for the coaches to learn.
That's for the coaches, right.
That's not for the players to learn.
Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen different teams throughout the years
mm-hmm.
where we go, there's same problems that showed up
right.
in whatever
right.
game it was that they were eliminated from the NCAA tournament or wherever they were
right.
eliminated.
Did they learn from it?
It was the same things that we saw earlier in the year.
Correct. Kind of my point, and I don't know why I bring it up, but we'll learn from this. You've been playing the game for 10, 15 years. If you haven't learned in 10, 15 years and you're still doing the same thing, you haven't really learned from it. You still do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think part of that's coaching. You know
yeah,
what I
no
mean?
Yeah, no question. You have to get motivated to do it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the coach has to. And if you're still doing the same thing and it's the wrong thing, if you're doing the wrong thing defensively or you have a flaw in your shooting technique,
mm-hmm.
somebody needs to help you with that. Now, maybe it's gotten you through to where you are now. Maybe you've been able to exist with it and maybe even be a pretty darn good player with it. But now, once you get to this level, the learning, I think, comes from the coaching. It doesn't come from the playing. Like I say, unless it's just a moment you've never, ever faced before, like a freshman going into the NCAA tournament, you're going to learn from that.
Sure. But you only have one time. Either you learn the first time.
Right.
Or you don't.
Right.
Because let me ask you, Tom, you've covered professional mostly or college as well?
A little bit of college, but mostly pro.
Pro, and it's a different beast.
Sure.
Because I think that in college, I think the people who follow it mostly, at the college level, it's more emotional than it is at the pro level.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen teams, very good teams, get beat, and there's no way they can get beat, but they get beat because they're just not emotionally ready. or they have that swag. They think that their poop doesn't stink, so they show up and then get beat. It doesn't happen as much at the pro level. True?
I think so, because part of that is the maturity of being a little bit older. I think especially if you're a freshman, maybe a true freshman, but even 18, 19, 20-year-old kid, your emotions are still way up and down and fluctuate like crazy. I think at the pro level, you're just a little bit more measured about it because it's a job. Here, it's still not a job. Even though fans may want them to treat it like it's a job, you're still going to school. Yeah. You're a student athlete. You've got all this other stuff going on. But if you're in the NBA, it's a job.
Right, right. Moreno?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's more for Sean Miller in this instance to learn about his team and go, okay, I know not to play that guy. Or
That I agree with. The combinations or a guy in a certain situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you already know who you're going to do.
Yeah. I think, too, something I think you say quite a bit is just you kind of are who you are.
Yeah.
And yes, Dylan Smith played well this last week, but we know going on his track record that that's not going to happen every game. And maybe he does get hot at a certain point in the NCAA tournament and he wins you a game. But at the end of the day, you're going to be the team you are at your core. And for Arizona, I mean, there's just...
Well, that brings up a great point because we haven't really talked about him, Dylan Smith. Who is this guy? This is not the guy we've seen for the last 2-3 years. He's hitting shots and doing unbelievably well. I say unbelievably because I'm using that word because it's true, at least to me. Is it to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is consistency has been always... There's been games where you go, okay, why is it so hard for you to do that every game?
Right.
And he'll have a game where he explodes for a lot of points and then you just don't see that guy for 8 or 9 games.
Right, right.
And for him to do it all in 1 week and to have, you know, consistency, I think that's important for Arizona. But again, you don't really know what you're going to get from him from game to game.
Given his history, you're going to say the next game is not going to be that good or something's going to happen to make him that good. True?
Yeah.
But guess what? I don't feel that way anymore. I don't know if that's not true. I feel less likely that's going to happen because I really like him. I mean, he's given me enough of sample size to say that maybe he's finally got to be Dylan Smith that we expected. He's older, less pressure on him to do the things that he needs to do. Does that make sense? Maybe less of a burden because the last couple of years he was kind of just the guy that he needed to score. Now he doesn't have to.
No.
Do you think that could be accurate?
Yeah. I mean, I think I still want to see more from it.
Of course.
I still think that you want to see it.
You're selling it. You're not buying it yet.
Not yet.
I totally agree. I totally understand. I don't know if I agree. I understand because he's burned you enough.
Yeah, and I think, again, going back to Khalil Tate and fans being frustrated with him because they've seen it.
Good point.
He's very frustrating to fans. If there's one player that consistently comes up on my message boards as someone that fans are just frustrated by, it's Dylan Smith. And you see it on Twitter, and I talked to him before the season. We talked to him before the season and at Media Day, and he understands that fans – will pick on him, and fans love to pick on him, and they tweet at him and do stuff. He says, I just don't pay attention to it anymore because he understands that for whatever reason, they like to pick on him, and I think it's that inconsistency, and it gets them frustrated because they've seen him play great at times, and then it just doesn't happen enough for them.
Yeah, and he can't come back at them. See, I told you, because guess what? It can shut down real quick.
Yeah.
You know, it can shut down real quick, and that's the last thing you want to do is can I told you so, because the told you so comes back and bites you real quick. Yeah. Yeah. I think I don't know him. Do you know him?
Not really.
We don't know much of these guys, but I wonder how he is off the court in terms of, okay, you know, I'm cool. I'm okay. I'm not worried about that stuff.
Yeah, I don't think he does. I think every college athlete is going to care a little bit, as
right, yeah.
All of us would care if what people are talking about with us. But I think for him, I think he understands. And to his credit, to Chase Jeter's credit, I released some of the guys who have been around the program. They understand that this year they had to take a backseat. And for them to do that, they understand that the bigger picture is that they're going to win some games.
Right.
So they can have moments like this. And for them, this is a great moment because they just played well for a week and everyone's talking about them and saying, look how great they played. And they're not talking about, well, the other games and how bad you played at the beginning or any of that stuff.
Right, right.
So the attention is so much focused on, you know, Nico Mannion and Josh Green and Zeke Nagy that they can just, like you said, play their role and kind of do what they do. And if you have a great game, then it looks even better.
Well, they're doing that. Look at Jeter. He wasn't doing that well for the first 5-6 games. He had a great trip to Anaheim. Very good. I won't say great. Ira Lee did what he does, you know. And Smith, probably the most improved player on the roster, I think.
I still want to see more.
Oh, no, of course, as you should. As you should, because he hasn't been consistent enough. If he continues this, hey, give him some award because he's been fantastic to this point.
Yeah, if he can, even if he's not at that level, even if he just comes in and hits some shots and is more efficient, that'll be fine. And that's going to be enough for this team because they have so many other weapons.
Right, no question. He's not that guy. I mean, I did a story Sunday night, and Zeke didn't play that well. Jeter did. Green didn't have that great a game offensively, but you had Dillon come in and step up. And Mannion, well, Mannion's being Mannion because you need him to do what he does.
Yeah, he's turning into the guy I think everyone expected, which is nice for Arizona.
Which is perfect for Arizona.
Yeah.
And I think that Sean, we haven't seen it yet, and I don't know if we'd ask this yet, but it's his golden guy. Is his golden guy.
Oh, yeah.
He gives him a huge, huge leash to do whatever he wants. You know, because he talked about fast shots or quick shots, bad shots. Pace, that's his dad. Nico does that every now and again.
Yeah. I think Sean sees a little bit of himself.
Really?
I think in certain ways.
How so?
There's a certain confidence that Nico plays with that I think Sean can identify with.
That's true. I agree with that there. Because if there's anything that Sean had when he was a player, it was confidence. As a freshman, he was playing against some of the best people in the Big East and doing really well because he was a tough dude. Still is.
I also think when you look back at his recruitment, Arizona started recruiting Nico very, very young. I mean, he was just starting out in high school when Arizona really became involved and Sean Miller made him his priority. And so I think you just have that familiarity with someone like him. And for Sean, I think it's more personal than just, hey, he's my player for 9 months.
When did you see him for the first time?
Probably around that same time. 9th grade, 10th grade.
So what did you say right away?
He's got talent. He's got a little bit different type of game than I think you would typically see. And then I think people underestimate his size.
Was he playing up? He must have been playing up.
No, he was playing at his normal level at that point. They kind of brought him along more slowly. But yeah, I mean, I always saw the thing, and we always talked about this when he was coming up, and we said it'll be interesting to see what Sean does because
how is he going to control him?
That, but also what Nico and Josh Green both do well is play in transition.
Oh, yeah,
that was the one thing that was very clear when you watched them. That you said these guys are at their best when they're playing in transition and going fast.
Yeah,
one of Nico's greatest assets is his ability to play fast and to play with some good pace.
Mm-hmm. And they're doing that.
Yeah,
regardless of Sean getting on me and saying, so you want him to play fast.
And I actually understood where he was coming from with that.
I knew exactly too.
And it's his moment to prove a point to his team that, hey, I'm going to let you play fast, but you also better do what I want you to do too.
Right. At my expense.
Yeah.
No, it was funny.
I got it.
It was funny. No, and I said that. I get it too. But guess what? Your best option to win is what?
Playing fast.
Run, baby. Run. And they didn't do it that much Sunday. I mean, at least they tried, but the opponent has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Guess what happens in the tournament? People slow you down
yeah.
or try to. Hey, let's take a quick break here on 10:30 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. Tom, what are you doing to the music? Is it?
I'm just jamming out back here, man.
You know, it's good.
Just chilling.
Is it on the random or are you doing it?
No, this is random, but I mean, I get to this point of the day, we're just relaxed, chilling, talking sports. I'm just kind of chair dancing back here.
This is all good. This music is way before my boy Matt Moreno's, but what about you?
This is slightly, but barely before my time.
Yeah, this yacht rock.
This is what I would have been listening to in the crib.
Oh, yeah. Oh, really? Oh, welcome home.
Oh, thanks.
Welcome home. So you're going to have Matt Moreno here next week.
Yes, indeed.
So are you getting used to this? Don't do too well.
Matt. Yeah, I'll do my best.
So Matt's going to be here Monday and Tuesday while I'm out of town. Yeah, don't show off too much.
I'll try.
You have to mumble and stumble through the whole 2 hours. Tom, and don't make him look too good.
Okay.
Because, you know, my boy Matt Moreno has a face like me for radio. So we're okay with that.
That's why we're all here. If we were pretty, we'd all be on TV.
That's true. I'm not so sure about that, but a good thought.
We'd have a better shot at it.
Yes, that's right. Our chances would be a little bit better. So let's talk more about basketball. Going to Baylor, we'll find out. This is the trip you should have taken. Free tickets.
Yeah.
Bring your friends. Bring your friend, whatever it is. Free tickets at Baylor. Who's going to be in that gym?
People who don't like football in Texas, which is not
who could get tickets to go to Texas.
Yeah.
should be a good game. I like it. They played Baylor last year, right?
Yep.
And lost?
Yep.
Not that that means anything. And then a test, which is great. They need a test. They were tested a little in Anaheim.
No, I think it was good.
You saw the first game, right? The Pepperdine one? No, you weren't there.
I was there for the Penn game.
The Penn game, yeah. That was a kind of a test.
Yeah.
They had some adversity.
Gave up a lot of threes.
Gave up. They still are. I think eventually that'll be slowed up. But again, if you are who you are, you are who you are.
I wouldn't be shocked if we get to the NCAA tournament and they end up losing a game because a team just made a bunch of threes.
Oh, yeah,
We've seen that a few times this season.
Sure, no question. And you say, well, we saw this in December. Yeah. We saw this in November.
Yeah.
And we saw this back, 2 years ago. What didn't we see in Bahamas when they went to Bahamas? Exactly that team that came out in March.
Yeah.
A team that didn't like each other and kind of just went through the motions and whatever. Well, a team that Sean could not get through. I think that he really likes this team, though.
Yeah. I think they're all kind of saying the right things, which is important.
Yeah, which would be what? Like what?
They keep bringing it back to the team, but it's less about...
I think they've been coached with that, though.
Right. But I think it's feels more genuine, I think, than before, than other years.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. Sure. No, but that's true because, like, Pace, God, I can't remember. Pace, because I followed his dad when he was younger. Nico, he does make everybody better. He just does.
I think that's the key.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree.
That he...
He's like TJ.
Yeah. I think it's... And he's even more talented.
Oh, no question. He's...
Where I think before, when you knew your guard that you were deferring to was someone like Alonzo Trier, who his goal was to score.
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily the case for Nico. Nico can still have a successful day when he's not scoring.
Well, the two guys, were you here for Brendan, for Lions?
Yeah.
Same kind of thing with Trier. Give me the ball, get out of the way.
Yeah, and sometimes that works. Sometimes that's what you need.
That's what you, Jason Terry was that year in 1999 when Jason Terry was a senior and everybody else was a freshman. He had to do that. If Arizona was going to win, Jason Terry had to lead them. Trier tried to do that, but that wasn't going to happen with Trier.
Right, and I think Nico has the skill set to where he can kind of be a chameleon in a lot of ways and go, okay, today, tonight, this quarter or this half, I need to be this guy. And I need to be the guy who's scoring. I'm going to be the one. I think the other thing that we figured out, and it's something that we said we wouldn't really know until they got into a position where they needed to come up with the last shot.
Mm-hmm.
Nico's going to be your guy. And there's no question.
There's no question. Yeah, we thought this before going in. Well, you know, I think that, or what about, they have so many good shooters. And I'm talking better than average shooters.
Yeah.
Because in the past, they didn't have shooters.
Well, and I think, and I tweeted this out during one of the games, but Max Hazard.
I was just going to say him. Yeah, of course.
He's one of those guys... At least from what we know of him, I've seen him before when he was at UCI and watched him in the tournament last year. But to me, just getting a better feel for him now and this season, he's one of those guys where you could go in and say, hey, we need a three. Just go make a three. And you have a lot of confidence that he's going to do it, where he doesn't have to get warm. He doesn't have to, you know, warm himself up to hit three-pointers, where he's going to miss a few and then you'll finally get the one that you want. He can come in and take two shots and make both of them and both be important three-pointers and shots that make an impact. And so I think for him... to have guys like that, I think it's just important. And Jamal Baker is someone who I think, as he gets more comfortable too, is going to be someone that, again, they just have a lot of shooters on this team, which is so different than what we've seen before.
Totally. A lot of options. A lot of options. And if Mannion goes down for whatever reason or out to foul trouble or whatever, they have options. Not as good of options, but they have options.
Yeah, I think that's the next kind of test that they have to get through and next kind of gate they have to get through with this team is figuring out what happens when some guys get in foul trouble. And because there has been moments where there has been a pretty big drop-off from the starters to the bench. And the bench hasn't always been great. And there's been moments where it just doesn't... You can sense kind of the momentum swing a little bit.
Right, right. And now that we get to the Baylors and the Gonzagas and those teams, the Oregons, we'll find out. Because those games are not going to be easy.
Now you're going to figure out how good your bench is because you need those guys to play well.
Right. And then if it's not that great, guess what? It gets shortened.
Yeah.
Something that he's notorious for.
I still think it's going to happen.
You still think it's going to happen?
I still think so.
Oh, no. Why? Because you've had 10 years of this?
I know how it goes. we've seen this movie play out before.
Yes, I totally agree with you. We'll see, but who's going to be the guy that's not
Well, even people were already talking about Christian Coloco because he was...
Oh, yeah, but that was kind of a given. It was a surprise that he was in there to begin with.
Yeah, no, but I still think people are kind of... And it's like, well, no, this is what happens. He's not playing because this is how it goes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. That's one of them. But who would be the next domino to fall? Because they need these guys. Lee? Ira?
Maybe.
Oh, what about the kid who got hurt?
Stone.
Stone. I like Stone a lot. I like him a lot.
And I think that's the issue with this team is that there's a lot of guys you go, well, he has some value to this
right,
team.
Right, right, right. Let's go to the phone lines. Rick, how are you? Oh, not yet.
Yep.
Rick, how are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. What's going on? Thanks for calling me.
Well, yeah, I'm just called to say, hey, happy holidays to you.
Thank you.
One of the things, you guys talking basketball, one big things I've noticed right away is that Sean seems to have more confidence, and the players seem to have more confidence. So Sean doesn't look like he's coaching every step of the game.
I totally agree with you.
And he's allowing them to play through it, which I think is great. And some, I don't know what you or one of your guests said something about. He looks like he's having more fun this year.
Yeah, it was me. It was me in my observation. I think, in fact, I did a story about that. Just that he enjoys coaching these guys. I know it was early, but you could see that he's letting them play a little bit more or a lot more, and allowing Mannion and Green to kind of do what they do.
Yeah, and that number 10, is it Baker, young man from transferred in?
Yeah,
from the guard.
Yes, he's from the Kentucky transfer.
Yeah, and that young man knows the basketball game, and he's very confident in himself. And I think you guys are talking first and second string. I think the second string is going to be, substitute players are going to fill in very nicely. And I think this group, more important than anything, I think they're going to have a lot of fun this year playing basketball. And I think Sean and the coaching staff. And I think Jack, bringing Jack down from Flagstaff.
On
the bench.
I agree. I agree. Really his temperament is very good for Sean. I don't know if you agree.
Yeah, I've known Jack for a long time. And you know what? He brings a lot of passion and everything, but he also brings a big smile to everything he does.
Right.
And I think that sort of helps lighten the load a little bit for Sean. It takes the pressure off the gas pedal a little bit. So.
No, I agree.
Anyway.
Good observations.
My friend, be well. Hope you enjoy your holiday, and good luck in Pittsburgh.
Great, great. Thank you, Rick. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. See you soon.
Yeah.
I think that a happy Sean is a good Sean.
Yeah.
What you think?
Yeah, I think that was a great observation, because I think there are moments where there's less of the players looking over and saying, what do we do, coach? It was more of just, I think that comes from the trust with Nico and knowing that he has the basketball IQ to make the right play and make the right decision.
Right, and he hasn't had that guy since TJ McConnell.
Yeah.
What you think? And probably his best guard since TJ. Well, in his 11 years here, he tried to do it with Josiah Turner. Head case didn't work. Then had to wait to get TJ.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of players that you can clearly tell he likes, I think Nick Johnson's up there. He brings him up a lot.
Yes.
TJ and then probably Nico.
TJ, Nico, correct. Who else would be on that list? Aaron, maybe?
I think just from a pure, I know I'm going to get 150% from him every night
Aaron.
Type of deal.
I think
Rondé's probably in there,
oh,
too.
Oh, Rondé, yeah. Well, that was a special team, too.
Yeah.
That was a team that had a chance. You just had, bad circumstances, bad timing, and a good Wisconsin team got in front of you.
Solomon.
Solomon, yeah, in his early years.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree, because Solomon's a smart dude.
Yeah.
He still is. Just could think the game, talk the game, play the game. Not in a flashy way, but a...
Yeah, I think if there's one thing that really stands out, I think, like you mentioned, he likes coaching this team.
Yeah.
And I think that takes a lot of the pressure away. I think it makes it easier on... it's what it feels like to me right now is... And obviously, we'll see what happens when they lose a game.
Right, adversity.
Mm-hmm. But to me, it feels more like tweaks. He's just kind of making minor tweaks as opposed to trying to overhaul a lot of things. He has who he has, but I think when you look at what he's doing as a coach right now, it's a lot about just kind of tweaking and fine-tuning some things and trying to make it the right type of fit for when March gets here, when everything really matters.
Mm-hmm. And hope that nothing between now and March happens.
Right.
Injuries, whatever.
Yeah.
And we haven't even talked about NCAA stuff, which is great because...
That's what they want.
Because, let me tell you something, isn't that refreshing?
Yeah.
Because you're just kind of playing, you're winning, and you're moving, and you're enjoying the games, and no one's talking about the bad stuff. Yeah. And maybe it won't happen until after.
Yeah. It's a very, very real possibility
which is a good thing for Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We're all about a minute away there, Thomas. Yes. And we'll watch the game on Saturday, see what happens. You'll be in for me on Monday and Tuesday. Don't mess up. I need my job.
There's a lot of pressure.
Don't be Steve. You have some guests? What are you going to do?
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Call your little, your people who tweet you and whatever that thing on the internet do. Have them call in, those subscribers.
Yeah.
And then they can stay and talk to me after you're gone. So it should be fun for you. You'll do well. What else? Football, basketball. Do you get, just last 30 seconds, do you get a lot of response for your women, the women's basketball team?
Yeah, it's actually been very much on the uptick, and people really like that team and like Adia. And
so does that help your business?
Yeah, in some ways.
In a way. Well, if anybody wants to know, just go to goazcast.com, subscribe. It's very inexpensive. And Matt does a great job, and he'll be filling in for me on Monday and Tuesday of next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Tom. See you soon. Thanks, everybody. You're on 1030 The Voice.